with the cartels disappearing from the temple, I would really give serious thought to your future. This is not a light matter. Radha Shamsundar, see who comes in and what they do. And they're making note. So just, you know, keep that in mind as you return the missing cartels. Because those of us who give class don't like to play these big flashy things while it's a nice little pre-class care time. Enough said. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Yasura Nandanam Raja Jana Ranjanam Yamuna Thira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banchari Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Radha Shyama Sundar Radha Shyama Sundar Radhe Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai.
Jaya Nityalila Pravista Astatara Satasi Simanis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupati Jaya Premsa Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitanda Shri Dvaita Shri Giraha Shubhati Gaura Bhakti Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinata Shama Kundarada Kundikiri Govardhanti Jaya Granta Raj Shumat Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Gaura Pemanandi All glories to the Assembly of the Lord Jesus All glories to the Assembly of the Lord Jesus All glories to the Assembly of the Lord Jesus All glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 17th chapter, 34th verse. Yasmin Hare Bhagavan Ijamanam Ijyatma Mutir Yajatam Samtanuti Kamam Hamogam Sirajangamanam Antar Bahir Bahyur Evaishya Atma Yashmin Hare Bhagavan Hijyamanam Ijyatma Mutir Yajatam Samtanuti Ijyatma Mutir Yajatam Samtanuti Kamam Havogam Sirajangamanam Antar Bahir Bahir Evashya Atma Yasmin Hare Bhagavan Ijyamana Ijyatma Mutir Yajatam Samtanuti Kamam Hamogam Sirajangamanam Antar Bahir Vayu Evashya Atma.
Please repeat.
Yasmin Hare Bhagavan Ijyamana.
Yasmin Hare Bhagavan Ijyamana.
Ijyatma Murti
Yajatam Samtanuti. Yasmin,
in such sacrificial ceremonies,
Hari, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Ijyamana, being worshipped, Ijyatma, the soul of all worshipable deities, Murti, in the form. Yajatam, those who worship, some,
welfare, tanoti, spreads, kamam, desires, amogan, inviolable, stira jagamanam. Of all the moving and non-moving, anta, within, bahi, outside, vayu, air, iva, light, isha, of all of them, atma, spirit soul. Translation. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because he is the super soul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is he only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. For report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. It is even sometimes seen that demigods like Indra, Chandra, are worshipped and offered sacrificial awards. Yet, the rewards of all such sacrifices are awarded to the worshipper by the Supreme Lord. And it is the Lord only who can offer all welfare to the worshipper. The demigods, although worshipped, cannot do anything without the sanction of the Lord, because the Lord is the super soul of everyone, both moving and non-moving. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:23, the Lord himself confirms this in the following sloka. Ye panya devata bhakta yajante shraddhaya vita te pi mam eva kunteya yajant avidya purvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. The fact is that the Supreme, I love the way Prabhupada says it, the fact is that the Supreme Lord is one without a second. There is no God other than the Lord himself. Thus the Supreme Lord is eternally transcendental to the material creation. But there are many who worship the demigods like the sun, the moon, and Indra, who are only material representatives of the Supreme Lord. These demigods are indirect qualitative representatives of the Supreme Lord. A learned scholar or devotee, however, knows who is who. Therefore, he directly worships the Supreme Lord and is not diverted by the material qualitative representations. Those who are not so learned worship such qualitative material representations, but their worship is unceremonious because it is irregular. Om Jnana Timadandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Militam Yenatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayati Kirim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dini Tarino. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaudavani Pacharini Nirvisesha Sunyavari Bhaskachari Shacharini Vancha Kalpaturibhya Shakri Pasindu Bahe Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaudavani Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are two points that Prabhupada makes here that easily can be remembered from many of his lectures and speaking. The first is that everything in this world has its origins in the spiritual world. Whatever we find here, we see it originally has its foundation, its base, its point of origin there. So we know from, for instance, studying the lives of our Vaishnavacharyas, that they are all manifesting from personalities in the spiritual world. Both Kavi Karnapur, in his book, Gurguna Desha Deepika, And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his book, Gaurasarupa Tattvika Chandrika, they detail who all of these personalities are in all three realities. A very interesting book. In Vishnu Chakravarti's book, at the back, there's a table, if you will, of taking from the point of view of the Gaura Lila or taking from the point of view of the Krishna Lila, and who these personalities were, according to Vishnu Chakravarti, who these personalities were according to Kavi Karnapur, and then who they were originally in the scripture. Very, very interesting. So, at any rate, we see that this is a very common theme there. Similarly, a few days ago, we were able to speak on the origins of the spiritual world of Sridhari Raj himself, and those elaborate, glorious pastimes that take place there, as well as here. In speaking about that, we touched on Giriraj's origins in the spiritual world related to his pastimes with Krishna, as well as the pastimes he experiences here. And we know that there were pastimes of Giriraj with Mahaprabhu and Nityananda as well. So in all three realms like that. But originally that foundation is there in the spiritual world. So in this regard to demigod worship, most commonly is the worship of Ganesh. This is what we usually see. Every proper Hindu home has a Ganesh deity, either above the door when you enter, or inside the home, or sometimes both. But Ganesh, as we know, it's a pastime related to his presence in the material world. He has an elephant's head. That's a long, long story for another class, but we all know the details of the basics. And he's worshipped for the purpose of removing obstacles and clearing the path in the execution of one's particular deeds or worship, whatever the case would be. He also has his origins in the spiritual world as well. And that would be a form known as Vishakshena. Those of us that do pujas are very familiar with Vishakshena. Vishvakshena has this exact service, this exact seva in the Vaikuntha worlds that Ganesh has here in this world. Now, Vishvakshena is known as Senapati. He's the chief or the lord, Pati, the lord of all the armies of the Vaikuntha realm. And as the commander in chief, he is in charge of these armies on behalf of Lord Vishnu. Now, Vishvakshena is worshipped in any ritual or any function by the Vaikhanashas, who are actually Vaishnavas. They follow this great sage. That's also another story. And by the Sri Vaishnavas. Before any puja or any performance or ceremony is done, Vishakshina is called on and worshipped. And he occupies an important function in the Vaikuntha realm in this regards as well. This is how he's worshipped here. In any type of Pancharatra temple traditions of worship, there's always a festival that begins with his worship and sometimes even with the procession of him. Now this is the same activity that Ganesh does here in this world. Now, it's interesting that Vishvakshena, being a Vaikuntha resident, he has a Vishnu form. Forearms looking like Vishnu, doesn't have an elephant's head. So kind of interesting. But he does have an immediate follower whose name is Gajanana. And Gajanana has the form of an elephant in the Vaikuntha realm, the elephant's head. Except that in his upper two hands, he's holding chakra and gada. So sometimes he is sometimes he's seen as the representative of Vishvakshena. And in this realm, when Ganesh is worshipped by Vaishnavas, sometimes Vaishnava tilak is put on him and he's worshipped as Vishvakshena because he has the same purpose as Vishvakshena, and that is to remove obstacles. So at any rate, this is one example like that. So unlike us, all of these great personalities, when they appear here in this world, it's in a form of their choosing. And that choosing of that form is to further increase and facilitate the pleasure of the Lord and all of his pastimes. This is why they make their appearance here. They come simply for that purpose, for the Lord's satisfaction. On the other hand, we appear in this world to further our futile pursuit of personal enjoyment and pleasure, which is never satisfying, which is never beneficial. It's explained just like a fire. You keep putting wood on the fire, you keep adding ghee to the jugga, then it's not going to put the fire out. Sometimes if you put too much wood, it'll appear that the fire dies down until it bursts back. So this is the nature of our efforts in this world to try and enjoy. It's like just making the effort, but it doesn't really end. You know, we keep pursuing and pursuing and pursuing, but because we are spiritual by nature, not material, therefore that material effort, regardless of how much we put into it, will not bring about any suitable result of happiness. And by suitable, I mean permanent. You know, it'll bring some happiness, there's no question. Materialists appear happy. Sense gratification gives some pleasure, that's why it's sense gratification. But it's very temporary, very fleeting. That is not the nature of the spiritual. So because of this, we end up staying here. Life after life after life after life. Whereas the other great personalities who descend here, after they wind up their activities, they return to that spiritual abode to pick up that position of service again. So in this way, there's a significant difference between our coming and going and their coming and going. Now, the second point that Prabhupada regularly would refer to, that's brought to mind by this purport here, is the example of a child giving an offering or a present to the parents. The money to purchase that gift, or the articles used to make up that gift, they all come from the parents. They're supplying that. Whether directly, here, you go and do this, or whether by having it in the household as a part of the, you know, presence of so many things that are in the household. So the child has no ability to accumulate these things on their own. They're simply doing so from what facility is there available to them, and making these gifts, which are a result of the mercy of the parents. Yet what's so very important is the parents do not make a point of this when they receive the gift. I mean, you can just imagine, Daddy, I made you that. Matter of fact, when I remember this very fondly because I was quite proud of it. When I was managing the St. Louis Temple and was running the restaurant all day, I dressed a little more business-like. I always wore a shirt and tie like that, you know. So on Father's Day, my daughter made a paper tie for me. This would be Munji. And she cut it out in the shape of a tie and she glued on little pieces of, you know how it goes, pasta and a button and, you know, this thing, that thing, and the other. And I paper-clipped it onto my tie and I wore it all day. Now, where did she get all that stuff? Well, you know, from being around us. The paper, here's the scissors, here's the this, here's the that, here's the glue, you know. But when I received it, oh, thank you, but you know, you could only do this because of me. And that's not the move. That's not how one receives a gift like that. So this is an important point, you know. Prabhupada makes us that these demigods are able to do this only because of, you know, their connection. So in this purport, Prabhupada goes on to point out that those who worship the demigods, they're getting the results of this worship, yet, and I quote Prabhupada, yet the rewards of all such sacrifices are awarded to the worshiper by the Supreme Lord. He alone is the source of all such rewards, just as the relationship between the parents and the children. The connection there of having that facility is only due to that relationship that the demigods have with the personality of Godhead as, like Prabhupada says, his qualitative representatives. Now, from these statements, an immature devotee will sometimes therefore dismiss the demigods. Mahaprabhu, Nartam Das Thakur, and many others, they preach strongly against demigod worship. particularly we were discussing, when we spoke about Nartam, the pastime with the two goat herd boys, Hari Ram and Ram Krishna, and their father being a Durga worshiper and the slaughter and all like that. So, you know, this type of worship is strongly spoken against, but encouraging one not to worship the demigods is not the same as encouraging one to disrespect the demigods. There is a difference. Demigods are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have a connection with the Personality of Godhead. As his representatives, they carry out his work. They have jobs, so to speak. I'm sure they don't have like a 9-to-5. That's a little more complex than that. But they have a responsibility. They're appointed due to their qualification of serving the Lord. They're appointed due to their commitment to the Lord. And they have work to carry out. Many have very, very important responsibilities in regards to the universal affairs, to the functions of day and night, to the functions of the rising and setting of the sun and the moon, the growing of the crops, the proper rain and nutrients, and all of these things. These are essential functions for our presence here in the material world. And they are executed by the demigods. So to be disrespectful of them is, you know, not a very good thing. Neither is to worship them exclusive from their connection with the Personality of Godhead. Of course, this was the whole Govardhan Leela. You know, Indra expecting to be worshipped separate from Krishna, and Krishna saying, no, we're doing this a little different this year. So, they're not, however, like our mundane politicians who somehow trick the masses into some false ideas that they can offer this, that, and the other, and they give the people hope and then finally get into office and basically can do nothing or do nothing while they're in office. This is not the position of the demigods. The demigods, we have to remember, first of all, they're devotees of the Lord. They're servants of Vishnu. They're servants of Krishna. And they execute his will as his representatives. This is something, as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, that we have a responsibility, you might use the word burden of love, to keep in mind that we're representing Srila Prabhupada. That doesn't mean we're independent of Prabhupada. That doesn't mean that we are Prabhupada. It means that we're representing him by what we do on his behalf. Similarly, the demigods are representing Vishnu by what they do on his behalf. Now, granted, sometimes they get a little out of control. They get a little bit full of themselves. They make blunders. Again, this is the whole center point of the Govardhan Leela, or with Brahma of the Vimohan Leela. But the fact that these demigods are even able to take a part in the pastimes of the Lord is also very significant. We are not able to cause any interruption to Krishna's divine leela by our presence, but the demigods, due to being devotees, the Lord incorporates them into his pastimes. So we should neither neglect the demigods, nor should we disrespect them. Yet, we also do not worship them separately. They're only seen in regards to how they can facilitate our service to the Lord. This is how one properly views them as a Vaishnava. And a perfect example of this, a very good example of this, is Lochan Das Thakur in his introduction to the Chaitanya Mangala, one of the three most respected works on the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He starts off at the very beginning. Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances to the saintly demigod Ganesh, who destroys all obstacles, who has a single tusk, who is stout, and who helps all auspicious projects. All glories to Parvati's son. Folding my palms, I bow my head before Gauri and Shiva. Falling at their feet, I serve them. They are the creators of the three worlds. They are the givers of devotion to Lord Vishnu. They are all the gods and goddesses combined. I bow my head before Goddess Saraswati. Oh Goddess, please play on my tongue. Please give me songs praising Lord Gaurahari. Wonderful songs like nothing known in the three worlds. With a choked voice filled with emotion, I beg, oh demigods, please place no obstacles before me in my service. I do not want money. I am an unimportant person. I only want that there are no obstacles that will stop me from completing this book. This is the mood of how we worship the demigods. In an ability to facilitate, to enrich, and to bless our attempts at devotional service. Is it required? Certainly not. But as for myself, as a fallen, conditioned soul struggling in the process of devotional service, I'll take any assistance I can garner. And we have the example here of Lochan Das Thakur. Now, if that alone in itself is not a sufficient example to help us understand this proper balance, we can take note from another very interesting point. Srila Vyasadeva himself. Srila Vyasadeva, of course, we know he's the compiler of the Vedas. And not to put too fine a point on it, he's Krishna himself. He's an incarnation. And he has composed a collection of prayers to the different planetary demigods, all nine of them. And these are used in conjunction with the worships of the planets known as Navagraha Puja. So we have Vyasadeva giving us this example of respecting them as well. For instance, in one's astrological chart, they may have an obstacle from a particular planet. Now, one may appease or worship that planet to remove these obstacles. Now, as a devotee, one might do so to enhance the facility one is seeking in executing their devotional life, to be able to more peacefully move forward and not be disturbed in their devotional practices. But this can only be done when the understanding is there of the proper position of the demigods as noted in this verse, with them as the servants of Lord Vishnu, with them as only being able to give their blessings when their Lord or Master has been pleased by performing the worship of him, and grants them the power of execution to give their blessings. If one acts other than this, this will not please the demigods. And when they're not pleased, they're not going to give their blessings. It's very, very strict if you worship the demigods separately. Very, very strict and very, very binding rules and regulations and standards on how that worship is performed. And if it's not done correctly, havoc can result. But by worshiping them as devotees of the Lord, and by giving them the prasadam of the Lord, just like if you come to someone's house and they give you some very nice prasadam, you're very satisfied. Very satisfied. Because they fed you something nice? No, because it was the prasadam of the Lord. And a devotee is always very happy to take that prasadam. The demigods, as servants of the Lord, are always very happy to receive the prasadam of the Lord. Therefore, they're not offered bhoga directly. They don't take it. This is the mistake that's made in worshiping demigods separately. They don't accept bhoga. They only accept prasad. So this is the importance there. Now, one could and probably would readily ask, especially those of us on the path of bhakti, why bother? It is true that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient in and of itself for all advancement in devotional life. Finished. End of story. Depending on the level of purity one is chanting that holy name with, am I free from offenses? Am I free from material motivation? Have I given up everything in my list of desires for the shelter of the holy name? The lack of these qualifying factors will prolong the appearance of prema that can come as a result of our chanting. So again, if I can garner a little bit of extra help from a bona fide source, why not pursue it? Now, this doesn't mean we should start worshiping an array of demigods in our homes, you know. But we do have customary ones, certain ones that are there and honored to assist in the devotional path, as we see here from the example of Lochen Dastakor. Ganesh removes the obstacles in our attempted devotional activities. Saraswati may bless us to be able to speak or write nicely on the topics of devotional life. Lochan is praying to Saraswati, let me just finish this book on the pastimes of Lord Gauravri. Please don't let there be any obstacles. Lord Shiva is known as the giver of Braja Prema. So many wonderful prayers are there for worshiping Lord Shiva. It's a common practice when doing Govardhan Parikram to first stop at Kundeshwar Mahadev, right next to Radhakund. Take the blessings of Lord Shiva to remove all obstacles and all difficulties and bless us to develop love for Giriraj as we perform the Parikram or Dandavats or whatever it is one's doing there. You know, so this type of relationship, this type of attitude towards the presence of the demigods in one's life is acceptable. Now, I propose, therefore, that this is the proper balance in understanding this ending statement of Prabhupada in this purport. A learned scholar or devotee, however, knows who is who. Therefore, he directly worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is not diverted by the material qualitative representations. Doesn't neglect them, but he doesn't worship them directly. This is the important point. Now, another point Prabhupada makes in his purport, separate from all this, he says, the Lord is the super soul of everyone, both moving and non-moving. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of all living beings is a foundational point of our Vaishnava philosophy. This is, you know, of course, have to include the demigods. The Lord is present within their hearts. So how can they be worshipped without recognizing the Lord's presence and worshiping Him? Just like the idea of offering obeisances to each other, something we commonly do. We're not only representing the Vaishnava before us by those obeisances, we're representing the personality of Godhead who resides within the heart of that Vaishnava. Therefore, if one separates the worship of the demigods from the worship of Vishnu, or the worship of the Vaishnava from the worship of the Lord representative, then this isn't the full picture that's presented. Now, additionally, one other thing. In this very last sentence here, Prabhupada touches on another very significant point. Those who are not so learned worship such qualitative material representations, but their worship is unceremonious because it is irregular. Unceremonious because it is irregular. Prabhupada has instructed that our worship should be like that of our study of the Bhagavatam, nitya seva. That is to say, continual, eternal, if you will, never ending. Demigod worship as a standalone process is not such. It's irregular, to use Prabhupada's points here. Because you do it sometimes, you don't do it other times. You need this, therefore you worship in this way and that way. This is not nitya seva. Our worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various forms, especially here, is Radhesham, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, Nishinga, Prahlad. This, in our own homes, in my home, for instance, is Giri Govardhan. This worship is performed daily. It's performed with great love. It's performed with an understanding of the superiority of this type of worship and with the mood of service, not with the mood of expecting results. The worship of the demigods as a standalone issue is all about, what is it? Dehi? Dehi. Give me this, give me this, give me this. I need this, please do that. I need that result, please give this. You know, trying to get something in exchange. This is not the worship of Radhakshan, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai. This is not the worship of Giri Govardhan. There's a nice story that Sachinandana Swami told me that when one does circumambulation of Govardhan, Giriraj is there listening.
What is the motive? Some people, it's very, very common, you see young couples, they're doing the circumambulation so they can have a child, or students are doing it so they pass their exams. I mean, it's a whole lot better than, you know, bribing the teacher, but, you know, it's still a particular result. And Giri Raj's mood is, yes, yes, you take it. You know, when you do your hand like this, it's like, just don't bother, take it. So, but when the devotee is doing simply for the glorification of service to Giri Raj, then Giri Raj is listening, oh, yes, you may have. Hands are like this, Benedicta, yes, you take. This, take, go away. You know, oh, yes, very nice. So this is our mood. Many, many, many times Prabhupada would point out this is a fault either in this type of regards or in regards to other religious traditions that depend upon God as the all-giving Father. What is the relationship of the child to the father? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Dad, can I have an allowance? Dad, can we go to the movies? Dad, can I go to, the, you know, whatever. Dad, can I have? Mom, can I have? Mom, when's dinner? Mom, did you do my laundry? Mom, you know, so on. This is the mood of taking, getting, you know, always asking for it. Prabhupada says, this is not the mood of our relationship with Krishna. We serve Krishna as his father, as his mother, thinking that if I can't serve him, he won't survive. Mother Jasoda is firmly convinced that if she doesn't take care of her Krishna, if she doesn't feed him properly, if she doesn't see that he's nicely bathed and dressed, he's not going to survive without her. This is the highest type of worship. Not to pray to God, as Prabhupada would say, for my daily bread. Bread's coming. That's not such a big thing, you know. But to serve God by giving him his daily bread. So we serve God, not pray that he will serve us. One is definitely better than the other. The one is better than nothing, but it's only the beginning. The highest goal is to see Krishna as the center of everything and to aspire to serve him in that way. So I'm going to finish there. This is just a few thoughts on this verse as we're approaching through this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, remembering that disrespecting and honoring, they have to be understood in their proper realm as far as the demigod's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll finish there. If there's any comments, questions from this handful of devotees here, Mother Satyasara? My hearing is really so, just speak a little loudly into the mic there. I'll plug in here, turn them up, see if it helps a bit. There we go.
The mic is dead, so maybe repeat the questions for the online audience.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me. So. Yeah, go ahead, give it a shot.
Okay, I was just wondering, at the beginning you said, I've never heard about Ganesh in the spiritual world. What was his name you said?
Vishvakshina. Yes, removes.
What you said about the one with the elephant head?
Yes, his name is Gajajana.
So, what's his
name? He's the servant, the immediate assistant of Vishvakshina.
Okay, and he's also a remover of
obstacles. Also, yeah, because he's the assistant, so he's doing a similar thing, yes.
Okay. And then the next thing, you said something about when you go and take some nice prasad somewhere, you it's not because you're thankful that they made.
Yeah. I mean, if I come to your house and you give me a nice slice of cake and it's something you just baked and are giving it to me, then I'm going to want, well, is it prasad?
No, but if you go to a devotee's house, obviously it's going to be prasad. They're going to offer it.
Obviously, and that's the point.
Shouldn't you just be, you know, thankful to them as well as to the prasad?
Yeah, well, that's the point, is that when you go to a devotee's house, everything is prasad because they have that proper understanding. But otherwise, that understanding is not there.
And can I ask one more thing? Not to do with the class so much, but you did say that, you know, people worship the deities and at home you It just made me think one time, one devotee in the UK told me that he was talking about the worship of Goni Thai specifically, and he was saying that if you worship Goni Thai, then you cannot make offense against them. So I just wondered what you thought about that. He said, you know, you can put them in your home, you can just put them, you know, non-devotees can put them on the mantelpiece or whatever, and they will not take any offense. So is that correct on the Lakshya?
Parma Karuna Pahundui Jananita Goda Chandra. They're the most merciful. However, that should not be our mode of worship. Well, you're merciful. You just, you know, I'm doing it today. I'm not doing it tomorrow. Here, I didn't get to do it right. Or, you know, we have to be very cautious in that understanding. Parma Karuna doesn't mean, yeah, well, you know, you don't hold any offenses. You'll get by. Parma Karuna means they're extremely merciful and won't take any offense. It doesn't mean that we want to, yeah, take advantage of that, yeah. Very important factor, I think.
There's one online question from Mother Nanda. She says, in regards to Vishwak Sena, why are there armies in Vaikuntha if no enemies can enter there?
Because he's the gatekeeper of Vaikuntha, and that's why there's no enemies there, because they can't get past Vishwak Sena and his armies. Yes. Get the microphone there, yeah.
The yugas seems to be related directly with the yugas and the karma, in the sense that you can see in this in the yuga how much there is way more disturbance. And I was wondering, are they independent in the sense that we can make situations happen according to the environment, or is it always related directly with the Supreme Lord?
Would you help me with that one, Radhikesh?
Sure. Demigods do worship only, everything they do comes as a service to Krishna.
Yeah.
So
she's saying that.
No. They're not going to be any different in Kali Yuga than anywhere else. It's going to be the same.
So why is it in Kali Yuga we get way more disturbances, like big storms and everything is...
Because of people's karma. It's Kali Yuga, that's people's karma. Yes.
Is that the question is?
Is it related? They have a freedom of being related to the karma of the people. Like, is it that we see the karma and we give reactions themselves, or is it related with the Supreme?
So your question is about terminating the karma, whether the demigods can do that.
Yeah. She said, are these demigods causing more problems in Kali Yuga than
others? Because of the age,
the demigods giving more... nullification of karma can only be done by the Supreme Personality of God, by his representative, the spiritual master. The demigods may be able to remove their impact, to adjust their impact on the conditioned soul. But only, as the purport here says, by the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the whole point of Navagraha Homa, is that one has some difficulty from demigods in their life, through the planetary presence. So one worships these demigods in connection with the personality of Godhead, praying for Krishna to allow them to remove those obstacles, remove their karma, so to speak. You know, but it can't be done without the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada makes it very prominent in this purport. Although it's a very short purport, Prabhupada's very strong on that point. So therefore, that expectation in demigod worship in and of itself is never going to be complete unless one includes in that demigod worship the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and seeing those demigods as subservient to him. I hope that answers.
All right, that's it. We'll finish here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you.